for tapes of End Time Meetings, Deliverance Services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication. Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Labor Day weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday afternoon, August the 30th, 2003. Diane Stone of Lake Hamilton Bible Camp is the minister on this.
You ladies have already met Lady Diane, so I'll introduce you to the rest of you. Diane Stone is a member of the campground here. They've been attending here for, I don't know, 4 or 5 years, something maybe longer than that. And both of them are well able to minister. And Tom does here on Sunday morning every once in a while. And Diane has taken up a position to help with the camp meeting and to teach you ladies and the rest of us. So Diane, come and tell us what the Lord's given you. She's always had a wonderful teaching. And you'll enjoy what the Lord has given her for us today.
Okay, before I begin, I don't like to speak before a big group without my husband, so if he would please pray.
Lord God, we just lift up Diane right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your love that you bestowed upon us. Oh God, we just thank you that this hour is going to be yours. And we give you everything right now in the name of Jesus. And I just bind all fear and anxiety right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, let the love of God flow. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thank you. This morning, our brother gave an awesome message on to pursue, overtake, and restore. But what would have happened if David had not pursued, overtook, and restored? You know, when things come into our life, the tragedies and stuff, there's that moment of decision that we have. We can decide at that point whether we're going to pursue, overtake, and restore, or if we're going to have the root of bitterness set up in our life. Because there was a very instant that he could have had unforgiveness in his heart toward that enemy. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. I had planned to do something else, and it just wasn't coming together. And so then about Wednesday of this week, the Lord pricked my heart. And I said, well, Lord, what do you want me to give? And he said, I want you to teach on forgiveness. And I said, well, Lord, that's so simple. And then he reminded me, he said, well, if it's so simple, why do you have such a hard time with it? And so I said, okay, Lord, I get the message here. And, you know, every day, we have an opportunity to forgive. Every single day, we have an opportunity to forgive our spouses. We have an opportunity to forgive our children. We have an opportunity to forgive the people we work with. It's always the people that are closest to us that we have the opportunity to forgive. And there's that moment. Remember, there's that moment that you can go either way. You can go over or you can go under. I want you to turn with me to Luke 6:37. And by the way, I always say that, you know, I don't think that you can teach anything that has not been worked out already in you. It's like I told the ladies upstairs, you can't lead someone to the Lord if you've never been saved yourself. You can't pray for someone to have the baptism of the Holy Ghost if you've never been filled yourself. You can't pray for things in deliverance if you haven't been delivered of it yourself. And so I've had a lot of opportunities to forgive. Sometimes I've done well at it, and sometimes I haven't. And Lord, help me. Luke 6:37. Luke 6:37 says, judge not. And this judge means to pronounce, an opinion concerning right or wrong. We're not to do that. We're not to give our opinions of right and wrong. It says, judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Because we don't want others to do that, do we? Well, do you know what she said? I don't believe that, you know. We're not to judge people. And it says, condemn not. And to condemn is to pronounce someone guilty. You know, we're bad about that. We'll say, man, you know, he's guilty of this and he's guilty of that. And we don't even give him a chance. We condemn him. And it says, ye shall not be condemned. But we don't want to be condemned, do we? We don't want to be judged and we don't want to be condemned. It says, forgive and ye shall be forgiven. And what does it mean when it says forgive? See, when we forgive, there's somebody that's held captive. They're held in bonds and they're not at liberty. But when we forgive someone, we release them from that captivity and we set them free. We set them at liberty. And it says when we do that for someone else, then God will do that for us. Okay, let's look at Matthew 6, 9 through 15. This is the Lord's Prayer. And we all know this. And the part I wanted to read is the part that says, it says, give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts. It doesn't say and forgive our debtors. It says as we forgive our debtors. That little as is a very important word. Well, what are our debts that we want the Lord to forgive us of? It's all our offenses. It's when we offend people. And sometimes we don't even know when we offend people. You know, maybe someone comes to church and you don't shake their hand. And that person says, well, he didn't shake my hand today. You know? Just little things that we're not even aware of. That's our offenses. And so it says, as we forgive those their offenses, then God will forgive us. So, you know, we need to be careful there. If someone doesn't shake our hand, oh, well, you know, you need to forgive them of it. Forget it. It says, as we forgive our debtors. Well, who are our debtors? Let's just get down to the nitty-gritty. Some of us, even before we were born in the womb, we were rejected by our parents. You know, maybe they wanted a boy and they got a girl, or they wanted a girl and they got a boy. And so you were rejected from the womb, from your parents. You know, what about abuse? Maybe some of us, when we were small, we were abused. Maybe we were abused sexually. Maybe we were slapped around. Maybe we weren't loved. Maybe some of us were sexually abused. You know, there's a lot of that. There's a lot of these hidden sins that we just don't want people to know about. But these are our debtors, are the people that did this to us. Emotional abuse, psychological abuse, verbal abuse. Some of us were cursed and cursed and cursed. You know, bad things said of us when we were little children. It was hurtful things, and it hurt us bad. And you think, how can you stand up there and tell me to forgive somebody that's done these things to me? It's too hurtful. I can't do that. Or maybe we were abandoned somewhere in our life, maybe as a child. Maybe we were given up for adoption. Maybe our husband or our wife abandoned us. You know, maybe we found ourselves as a single parent trying to raise children and struggling. Maybe we were betrayed some way. Maybe we should have gotten a job at work and someone else got it that we didn't think was quite as capable as we were. You know, there's all kinds of cruelties. There's all kinds of people that would deceive us and slander us. And you think, hey, I've got rights. They had no right to do that. All these are the debtors. And it says right here in the scripture, in the Lord's Prayer, it says, forgive us our debts. See, we do these things to other people. But maybe we don't realize it all the time. And maybe sometimes we do realize it. We just want to do it. It says, as we forgive our debtors, then our debts will be forgiven. Well, how many times are we supposed to do it? Well, in Matthew 18, it tells us that. It says, Matthew 18, 21 and 22, it says, And then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Because you know the number seven means complete in the Bible. But Jesus answered him and said, Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. And you see, we have to have a forgiving heart all the time. See, God is love, and God is forgiveness. If we miss these two things, we've missed it, folks. You know, we can learn the techniques of deliverance. We can read all these books, and we can have all this knowledge. I know because I tried to do it back in the early days. I thought, if I could just read these books, and I can just help these people. But if you don't have love... Remember what the scripture says, that you're like a tingling cymbal, I think it says. You know, it's no good. We've got to touch people. We've got to love people. We've got to be sincere. And we've got to be able to forgive the things that they've done. We've got to be able, if you're going to be in deliverance, you've got to be able to listen to what people are saying to you, because they're pouring their heart out to you. It's like I told the ladies upstairs, a wise woman said to me about a week ago. She said, there's two things you've got to remember if you want deliverance, if you really want it. You've got to be desperate and you've got to be honest. Well, some of us have not gotten desperate enough, and some of us have not gotten honest enough, because we've had these secret sins that we're so afraid that if we tell somebody that we're not going to be liked, our name's going to be slandered. And you know, that's true in some churches. We don't feel the freedom to go to those altars and pour our heart out and get what we need from God. And so, see, where does it start? It has to start with you guys and with me. We've got to be mature enough. We've got to have enough Christ in our lives that when people pour their heart out to us, that it stays right where we're at. And you know, to be honest, a lot of times when I pray for people or what I pray for, I don't remember. And it's not necessary that I remember that, because God is the deliverer and God is the healer, and I'm only the vessel that it goes through. So turn to Psalms 103, verse 3. In Psalms 103, verse 3, it says, who forgiveth all our iniquities? God forgives it all. Iniquities? What are iniquities? Well, it's willfully determined not to do what is expected or desired. You know better, and you do it. But God forgives it. And what have we as Christians done? We've condemned people for it. But we want God to forgive all our iniquities. But we want to hold an account where other people are concerned. That's wrong. And it says that God healeth all our diseases. Every single disease that we have, He heals. Well, okay, you might say to me, Diane, okay, I can forgive, but I'm not going to forget. I just can't forget what they did. Well, let's look at verse 12 in the same chapter. Here's what God does. It says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. God forgets. He doesn't only forget, but He forgets. And that's part of forgiveness. And it says He forgives as far as the east is from the west. You can go forever and ever and ever east. And you can go forever and ever and ever west. Aren't you glad God didn't say, I forgive as far as the north is from the south? Because you can go south, and there comes a point when you have to go north. And you can go north, and there comes a point when you have to go south. But He didn't say that, did He? He said He forgives and He forgets. It is gone. It is washed away. And when you get deliverance here at this camp, you receive it. It is gone. There is no more. And when that old devil comes to you and tries to torment you, you say, get out of my face. It is gone out of my life, and I don't receive it. Okay, look at Matthew 5:43. You know, sometimes you know, we use these terms so lightly. You know, we'll say, let's forgive and let's love, love, love and all this. But, you know, it's important sometimes we just go back to the basics and we understand, what does it really mean to forgive? What did Christ do for us? Well, in chapter 5, 43 through 48, it says, ye have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. You know, it's easy to love people that we like. And it's easy to be around people we want to be around. But I'm going to tell you something. As you walk with the Lord, there's going to come a day when He's going to require you to go places you wouldn't in the flesh want to go. You're going to have to crucify that flesh, because that's where these some people that need help. You're going to have to be willing to go. But you might say, but Lord, and you know, the disciples did this in the Bible. They would want to go to one town and God would say, go to another. And they had to go where God said, go. And it's like that in our life. We can't say, but Lord, I would rather hang around over here with Susie. And He's saying, go over here with Judy. You know, you have to be willing to do that, because you'll miss God's blessing if you don't. It says, but I say unto you, love your enemies. Love your opponents. Bless them that curse you. You know, it says speak well of somebody. You know, and I've heard people say, well, if you can't say anything nice about anybody, just don't say it. But you know, you even need to think well of everybody. It goes a little bit further than just speaking well. You need to think well. You need to see the good in those people. You need to see where they're hurting. You know, if someone comes off at you or they do something to you, there's a reason in their life why they're doing that. You know, they've been badly rejected. They may have fear. They may have all kinds of things wrong with them. And here you're the minister of God. You're the one that God has sent. And you have to be able to be available and to listen to God's voice so that that person can be set free. And that's one more warrior for the Lord. That's the way you look at it. If you can set that debtor free, now he's on your side. And you've got one more in the army of God and one less in the army of Satan. It says, do good to them that hate you. Well, the world expects you to retaliate. But when you don't retaliate, when you turn good for someone that hates you, then they see a difference in your life and they're going to want what you've got. But if you do the same thing they're doing, they don't want what you've got. I wouldn't want what they've got. I wouldn't want what I got if I did what they did. Would you? So we have to be different. We are different. And it's a good thing. It's a good difference. And it says, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Let's set them free. Let's be that mature Christian that God is trying to bring us into, with the forgiveness in our heart and the love of God that's going to set people free. Well, what happens if we don't do this? What happens if we have unforgiveness in our heart? See, so many times we've said in the past, well, I'll just pray that God gets him. Oh, God get him. You know how I've suffered, Lord. You're bringing down God. Right? Well, let's look at Matthew. Let's see what happens to us. Matthew 18, verse 23. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, the Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. And the servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of the servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him his debt. When we come to the Lord and we say, oh God, I'm so sorry, and God, I didn't mean to do that. And we come to Him for anything. He is right there with compassion, and he looses us from those things that we're bound to, because he loves us and he cares about us. And he forgives us of that debt. He forgives us of that offense that we made toward other people. But then look what we sometimes do. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat and said, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he hath paid the debt. We refuse to forgive sometimes, and we put these people in bondage. We put them in prison. So when the fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that, he had called him and said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all thy debt because thou desirest me. God's saying, I forgive you all your offenses, all your debts, and you couldn't forgive someone else? Look what happened. Shouldn't not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And here's what God does. God and his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors. God has to deliver us over to the tormentors because we refuse to forgive our debtors. And it says, we stay there until he shall pay all that was due unto him. We are turned over to demonic powers. We are tormented. What are we tormented with? Unforgiveness, depression, anger. We're tormented day and night. Well, you saw what that guy did to me. No. We're eat up with it. And it says we stay there until we pay all. And now you think, okay, I'm just making this up. Look at the last verse. So likewise shall thy heavenly Father do also unto you. If ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. So you put yourself in prison and turn not only the person that you did not forgive over to the tormentors, unto demonic powers, but you also turn yourself over to the demonic powers and you put yourself in prison. Look at Matthew 5:22. Matthew 5:22 says, but I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be, and I've written all in my Bible, I can't see what it says, shall be in what? Danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Rapha, shall be in danger of the council, but whosoever shall say, thy fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if thou bring a gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother has aught against you, that means if he has anything against you, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way first to be what? Recounseled to thy brother. And that word recounseled means to be changed throughout. You try to change that situation. You try to make it right. You go to him. You know, you may go to him, and I've done this before, and it just changes the whole situation. And then come and offer thy gift after that. Now, it says, agree with thine adversary quickly while thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, that's God, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, that's the assistant, the under rower, and thou be cast into prison. And that's a place of captivity. And it says, verily I say unto thee, thou shall be no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. Fairling, and you're going to pay it off. If you don't ever forgive that person, you're going to pay it off fully. It's not worth it. All right, look at Hebrews 12, 14 and 15. The scripture says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see God. So we're to follow peace as much as is possible. We're to be at peace with everyone, and we're to be holy. It says, looking diligently, lest any man fall of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness, and bitterness is it says, is which is pointed, sharp, and penetrating. It just penetrates your very soul, that bitterness does. Springing up trouble. What's trouble? You're going to be wounded some way. And therefore many be defiled. That word defiled means to be stained with demonic activity. In other words, if you let that root of bitterness come up into your life, you are giving demons legal right to yourself through bitterness. Now, how does this happen? It doesn't just all of a sudden you have this root of bitterness. What happens is it's like a plant. And you know, the root can go deep. You start out with just a little unforgiveness. Someone hurts your feelings and you have unforgiveness toward them. And that unforgiveness then turns into resentment. You begin to resent them and you don't want to be around them. And then before you know it, you think, I'm going to get back at them. What is that? There's a saying about something about getting even. I don't get something, but I get even. There you go. I don't get mad. I just get even. Well, when you've got to that point, you have gone into retaliation and revenge. From there, you go to anger. And all these are just little leaves on this plant. And the little plant's just growing more and more, and that root of bitterness is just getting deeper and deeper and deeper. Then after the anger, you have hatred toward this person. You hate them. You can't even stand them at this point. Then comes the violence, and then comes the murder. At full bloom, you have murder. It might not necessarily be the physical murder. It could be. But it could be murdering words, sharp things that you say toward them. Things you do to try to damage them, to damage their reputation. And then that root of bitterness is in full force. And then we have the enemy coming with the recall spirit. Remember what he did to you last week? You didn't get that raise that you should have gotten. He gave that job to Joe instead of you. And he wasn't even worthy of it. You should have got it. You've been here longer. You see? And then it's full bloom. And at that point, you've got to have deliverance because you can't get out of it. So a root of bitterness will spring up once you've been turned over to those tormentors. All right, look at John 20. John 20, verse 21. It says, then said Jesus to them again, peace, forgiveness for us, Lord. As my Father has sent me, even so I send you. See, he wants you to be in peace. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Those whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And what does it mean to remit someone's sins? It means to let go of. Read the next verse. It says, when ye stand, and that's when you're standing and you're persevering, it says, forgive. If ye have aught against any. And why are we going to forgive? Because this is what it says, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. We don't like to hear that part, do we? We want to ask God for all these things. But there's always a condition. that we need to meet. And in this case, it's forgiving. If you want God to hear your prayers, then you need to remember, forgive. Ask forgiveness before you go into prayer with the Lord. And I want to talk for a minute to husbands and wives. If you'll turn to 1 Peter 3:7. Okay, it says, likewise, ye husbands, and you husbands realize that you are our protectors, you're our providers. And you know, that's why I asked my husband to pray, because you know, I don't like to get up in front of a mixed group without my husband with me, because he's my protector, he's my provider. You guys are supposed to take care of us. And it says, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life. See, God has put you together. You cleave together. You left your mothers and your fathers to cleave to your wife. And you are to be in such unity that the Spirit of God is one in you. That you would think alike, feel alike. You're just cleave means to be glued together, stuck together, and one mind in Christ. And it says that, well, this is why, that your prayers be not hindered. Do you see? You can hinder your prayers by having offenses toward your mate. And some of us in here today, you know, we might be very angry with our spouse. But what you're doing, you're hindering your prayers. And so you want to be careful about that. All right. Now then, the last thing I want to say is that unforgiveness will affect your healing. And if you'll turn to Isaiah 38. And I want to read, this is talking about Hezekiah, and it tells in here how he was about to die, and he had a sickness unto death. And in 1 through 5 it says, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came unto him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thus thou shalt die and not live. So he had a disease unto death. I wonder what he had. Maybe they'll tell us here in a minute. Second verse says, then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto God. He knew he was in trouble, and he wanted releasement. And it says, and said, remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, go and say to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. God is merciful. If we cry out to him and we repent, then he is gracious to heal us, it says, of all our diseases. He gave him 15 more years. Well, what did he have? Let's look in verse 15. Let's see if that tells us. What shall I say? He hath but spoken unto me, and himself hath done it. I shall go softly all my years in the bitterness of my soul. He had bitterness in his soul. That's what was wrong with him. Look at 17. Behold, for peace I had great bitterness. So, in other words, he didn't have that peace, but he had bitterness. But thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sins behind my back. In other words, God forgave him, but we still don't know what was wrong with him. Let's see. Okay, look in 21. For Isaiah had said, let them take a lump of figs and lay it for a plaster upon the boil, and he shall recover. You ever heard anybody say they're boiling mad? When you have boils, lumps, bumps, acne, and all kinds of cancer, a lot of times it comes from the root of bitterness. You see, when it first will enter our mind, That's how Satan works. He'll enter our mind. And remember I told you, there's a decision. When someone does something to offend you, you have that moment that you can decide. Like our brother said this morning, he said you pursue, you overtake, and you restore. Or you have that decision where you say, I'm going to get angry. And then you do it. And when you do it, it enters your mind, it sinks down to your heart, and then you just feed on it in the mind, then your emotions get going, and then this plant that I told you about springs up. It goes all the way from unforgiveness all the way up to murder, and you've got this root of bitterness, and then there comes a point that it comes and it attacks your body. It manifests in the flesh. And these are the ways it manifests. In his life, it was boils, lumps, bumps, acne, all kinds of cancer. These are all from bitterness. Anger and rage. We've prayed for people that have had aneurysms. See, it's that swelling of the blood vessels. I mean, they're just throbbing. You know when you get mad, how your blood vessels just throb. Okay, it causes aneurysms and strokes. It also causes hemorrhoids. You've heard people say, well, he's a pain, you know. Well, that's hemorrhoids. And so, you know, it's a swelling of those. That's the truth. Of the and varicose veins, same thing. If you've got varicose veins, check to see if you've got unforgiveness in your heart. I prayed for a woman last week, and she had great bitterness, anger, and resentment toward her mother. She felt really bad towards her mother, and she found out lately that she had ovarian cyst, breast cyst, systolic acne. I knew a man that had systolic acne because he had resentment toward his mother. Leukemia. I had a young student that had leukemia, and it was because she had deep-rooted bitterness coming from unresolved rejection from her father. He had abandoned her. Her mom and dad had gotten divorced at an early age, and she had leukemia. But the Lord has graciously healed her of that. Breast cancer is caused, we've had cases where it's been caused by bitterness between female and mothers and sisters and mother-in-laws, where they don't get along, where they bicker. The women in the family don't get along. You've heard the saying, we're bosom buddies. Well, they weren't bosom buddies. They had lots of conflict. There was a lady one time, we went to a church recently, and she had knots all over her hands. She was just eat up with arthritis, and she was miserable. And she was a very bitter woman. And the Lord had me just go over there and minister and just rub her hands. And as I rubbed her hands, and she just started weeping and started forgiving. And that bitterness just came off. And as she did, those fingers just straightened out, and God just did a miracle with her hands. And she just wept, you know. But you see, you know, the scripture tells us that Christ is the head, and we are the arms and the legs. And this is the spiritual part of it. And that we are to be joined together in unity. But even we have spiritual arthritis in our churches, guys. You see? And it goes into the physical. And this is what happened. It's a joint inflammation, swelling as a consequence of the poison released in one's body by continual bitterness. Sometimes, not all the time, there's other causes, but sometimes anger will cause migraine headaches. Your head just throbs, and the madder you get, the more your head throbs. There's other things. There's fears and witchcrafts and things, too, that can cause that. But we've prayed anger off a lot of people that have had migraine headaches, indigestion, ulcers, colitis. All these things, we found that unforgiveness was the start of it. So, you know, I say to you tonight, if you have these things, you know, in yourself, well, don't leave here without getting prayer for these things. Don't leave with it. God wants to deliver you. He wants to set you free so that you can turn around and set somebody else free. Remember what I said, you've got to own it before you can give it out. I'll guarantee you, if you get healed of breast cancer, ladies, you're going to want to see everybody you know healed, and you're going to want to bring them to Jesus for that to happen. If you get healed of migraine headaches and you've had them for years, you're going to want to see your friends released. That's what I'm saying by owning it, because you want it. You want to see them. You know, in John 3:16, and I'm closing, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. We know that. But you know, we got to have Jesus. He's the answer. It says, but as many as received Him, to them gave Him the power to be sons of God, even to them who believe on His name. And if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, ye will be saved. For with the heart one believeth to righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. Whoever confesseth Me before men, him I will also confess before My Father who is in heaven. But whosoever denies Me before men, him I will also deny before My Father who is in heaven. You see, it's important that we confess Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior, and mean it with all of our hearts, not just say it, because He is the answer. I can't do anything for you, but God can. And so if you would just say this prayer with me, we're just going to confess Jesus as Lord before we pray any further. Lord Jesus, I confess that You are the Son of the Living God, and that You died on the cross for my sins. I believe that You rose from the grave on the third day and ascended into heaven and are sitting at the right hand of God the Father. Thank You for forgiving me, justifying me, cleansing me in Your precious blood. Please come into my heart and take full control of me. Please help me to follow You from now on. Okay. Now, I want you to think, you know, there's three kinds of unforgiveness we can have. We can, first of all, we can have unforgiveness towards others, and that's what we mainly talked about today. And I want you to think here in a few minutes who you have unforgiveness toward, and I want you to lift that up to God. And then, the other kind is you can have unforgiveness toward God, because God didn't do exactly what you thought He should have done in a certain situation. And we need to ask God's forgiveness for that. And some of us sitting here in this room, we have unforgiveness toward ourselves. We feel like we've made wrong decisions and wrong choices along the way, and we haven't forgiven ourselves for that. And God wants us to do that. He wants us totally free. Father, I confess that I have not properly loved, but I have held unforgiveness along with resentment, revenge, retaliation, anger, hatred, violence, and murder in my heart for certain people. I repent of this, and I ask You to forgive me. I call upon You, Lord, to help me to completely forgive them. And now I forgive. All right, at this point, I want you to think of everybody and anyone that God brings to your mind that you need to forgive. And I'm going to continue praying. Lord, we just ask forgiveness, God, for those parents who mistreated us, Lord. God, we ask forgiveness. I forgive my father, who was not the father he needed to be. God, he didn't hold me, Lord. He didn't love me, Lord. He didn't let me crawl up on his lap when I was a child, Lord. God, I felt so rejected, Lord, but I forgive him now, Lord. God, I forgive my mother. God, I know she did her best, Lord, but God, at the time, I didn't think it was good enough. And Lord, she rejected me, Lord. And God, I felt so alone and so rejected, but Lord, I know she did the best she could. And Lord, I forgive her, Lord. God, I forgive my brother, Lord. God, and I forgive my sisters, Lord. And God, of all the hard times they put me through, Lord. And God, of all the resentments and the jealousies they've held toward me, Lord. God, I release them from it, God. And I ask you to release them, God. Lord, I forgive my children, Lord. God, they don't understand the full situation, Lord. God, I just ask you to forgive them, Lord. And God, bring them in, Lord. Bring them close to you, Lord. God, that our family can all be saved, Lord. Oh, Lord, I forgive my boss at work, Lord. God, I forgive him, Lord, how I've had such an injustice at my job, Lord. I forgive those employees at my work, Lord, that have treated me wrongly, Lord. God, they don't know better, Lord. God, they must be hurting, Lord. God, help me to look into their heart and to see their hurt, Lord. And help me to set them free, God. And Lord, I just ask forgiveness for that person that abused me when I was a child, Lord. God, they didn't know any better. They were hurting. They had generational curses on them. Lord, they only did what they saw maybe their father do or their father's father, Lord. God, I forgive them for physically abusing me, God. Lord, I forgive them for sexually abusing me, Lord. God, I forgive them for all the cruelty and all the cussings that I took, Lord. I forgive them for all that. Lord, I forgive them for betraying me, Lord. God, I forgive them for abandoning me, Lord. God, they didn't know any better. And Lord, I ask that you also forgive them, Lord. God, help me, Lord. God, I forgive all my debtors, every single and last one of them, Lord. And God, I ask that you break every evil soul tie between me and all my debtors in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And Lord, now, I forgive, Lord, I repent of accusing you, Lord. I repent, Lord, of getting angry at you because you didn't handle the situation like I thought you should have, Lord. God, I was hurt and wounded, and I thought you should act in a certain way. But God, you're God of all, and you know all, Lord, and I'm going through, Lord. And I repent of that today, God. Please forgive me, Lord. And God, I forgive myself. I forgive myself of all the bad decisions I made in the past, Lord. Dear God, my past is gone, and I am living for today and for tomorrow, Lord. I accept myself in the love of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now then, I'm going to call out some things, and it's like I told the ladies upstairs. And my friend Cheryl did a good job at that. You're going to have to drive these enemies out yourself. I can stand up here and I can get all excited and I can scream and I can yell or I can say softly or whatever. But you've got to do it yourself. It doesn't matter what I say. And the way to get them out, you're going to have to cough. And you're going to have to get this unforgiveness and stuff out of you. And as you do that, we're going to have some people walking around to help you as they feel the Lord leading them. Patty and Fern and Dr. Noel and the Goldens and Brother Glenn and my husband and Cheryl and Tamara And it's all going to be walking around. And they're going to come to you as the Lord leads them to. So it's your responsibility to get it out. I break the curse of unforgiveness off these people in the name of Jesus. I break it off the mother's side all the way back to Adam and Eve. And I break it off the father's side all the way back to Adam and Eve. I bind the spirit of unforgiveness and I command it to loose these people in Jesus' name. I bind the spirit of resentment in the name of Jesus. And I command it to loose you in Jesus' name. I bind the spirit of revenge and retaliation in the name of Jesus, and I command it to loose you. I break all bloodline curses that would hold this on you right now in the name of Jesus. I break it. I break it. I break the sins of the fathers right now in the name of Jesus. All of you that had angry fathers, I bind it and I loose you from it in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I break it. I break it off your grandfathers in the name of Jesus. I break it. I break it. I break it off those great grandfathers and those great great grandfathers. I break it back all the way back to Adam and Eve. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I break the alcoholic curse off of you in the name of Jesus. I break it off. I break it off the father's side, and I break it off the mother's side. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I break all Indian curses off of you in the name of Jesus. I break it off. I break it off in the name of Jesus. I break off all war paint spirits in the name of Jesus. I break it off in Jesus' name. I break off all rage and all anger in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I break it off. I break it off in Jesus' name. I break off all anger and all hatred in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I break off all violence and murdering spirits in the name of Jesus. Come off. Come off in Jesus' name. Come off in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I pull out that root of bitterness. I pull it out from its roots in the name of Jesus. Come off. Come off in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I break that spirit of memory recall that comes to you and reminds you of these situations of the past. In the name of Jesus, I call it null and void. It will not torment you any longer after today. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come off. Come off in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come off. Come off. In Jesus' name, I break the spirit of war bonnet in the name of Jesus. Come off. Come off in Jesus' name. Come off in Jesus' name. I break all Viking spirits in the name of Jesus. I break all Viking spirits. I break the rage and the anger that comes with this and the murdering spirits in the name of Jesus. I break it. I break it in the name of Jesus. All murdering spirits in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, I command everybody to line up to the Word of God, and I curse every boil, lump, bump, cancer in the name of Jesus. I curse it and I command it to dry up in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. All skin cancers dry up in the name of Jesus, dry up. All ovarian cysts. Dry up in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. All cysts of all kinds, breast cysts, in the name of Jesus. Dry up in Jesus' name. Systolic acne in the name of Jesus. Dry up in the name of Jesus. All breast cancer, come off in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I speak healing to relationships between mothers and daughters and sisters and mother-in-laws in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I speak to every leukemia cell in the name of Jesus. And I call for the blood of Jesus to cleanse the blood, to cleanse our blood thoroughly. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. And all Hodgkin's disease, in the name of Jesus, I bind it and I loose you from it. Command it to dry up and go away in Jesus' name. And all rejections from the Father and all abandonment from the Father, I come against that in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, and I command it to loose you in Jesus' name. I come against all migraine headaches in the name of Jesus. I command them to loose you in the name of Jesus, and all that anger and bitterness, come out of there. Come out of there in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, all indigestion and ulcers, in the name of Jesus, all bleeding ulcers, I command you to dry up in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, all colitis be gone. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, all varicose veins, I command those veins to line up and to function properly and to not bulge. In the name of Jesus, I come against all aneurysms. In the name of Jesus, I command it to be gone, and all strokes in Jesus' name, all hemorrhoids in the name of Jesus, I command you to be gone in Jesus' name. All anger and rage associated with it, command it to loose you in Jesus' name. All arthritis, I come against you in the name of Jesus. All arthritis be gone in Jesus' name. All joint inflammation in the name of Jesus. All bitterness towards others that have caused this, I command it to come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus' name. Break them all. I break them all in Jesus' name. Thank you, God.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.